Amen. I'm glad to be free tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. And I'm glad to know that there is freedom and liberty through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's good to be saved tonight, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and to know that my sins have been placed under the blood, and listening for a trumpet to sound so that we can go home and be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't think we're going to have to wait on that trumpet a whole lot longer because the signs of the time are pointing towards His coming. And I tell you, if you aren't ready and you don't know Jesus, you better be getting your ticket quick. You better be getting on that old ship of Zion as soon as possible, because she's fixing to leave out of here. Amen. She's going to pull out of port and head to a land that we've never been before. Amen. But I'm looking forward to that trip. Amen. Praise God. Appreciate you for coming to the Lord's house tonight. And I know the weather's a little rough, but I tell you, it feels pretty good in here. Amen. I've already felt the Spirit of God and the presence of the Lord. Singing about that good shepherd, man, I just kind of reminisce, went down memory lane. Remember the night, June the 4th, 1989, when the Lord saved me. And, man, I tell you, I'm thankful for the good shepherd. Amen. Aren't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. As the brother said, my name is Stacy, and my wife, Vicki, was on the piano playing, and her sister, Jennifer, my sister-in-law, was singing there with us, and our three girls, Alyssa, Ashlyn, and Amberly, and the little boy, Austin. It's good to have all of my family with me, and my sister-in-law, Sister Jennifer. Amen. And it's good to be here. I spoke to my father today, and he said he remembers coming around 18, 20 years ago when Brother Yates was here, and he said to tell everyone hello, and that you know, he really enjoyed the time he came out. And we just appreciate the opportunity, Brother Prescott, for the invitation here to come. And we've been praying today, and we've been praying before today. Amen. And felt the presence of the Lord in here on the altar today. And I just believe that God wants to help us. Amen. Praise God. Now, I hope you don't think that we brought revival with us. Amen. We need you to pray and get in here with us. Amen. The few words, the few broken words that we say, and the few songs that we sing is not going to bring revival. Amen. But I tell you, if we'll call on the name of God, I tell you, He'll hear and answer our prayer. Amen. I always need revival. Amen. Praise God. Where God stirs us and charges our batteries. Amen. Praise God. I want you to open your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Hosea in the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 1. Amen. If you're a little unfamiliar with that place, if you'll find the book of Daniel, it's immediately following the book of Daniel. Amen. Hosea chapter 1. Praise God. Amen. Hosea chapter 1. Verse 2, have you found that place? Say amen. Amen. Now, please leave your Bibles open through the course of this message. If you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word, I'm going to read a few scriptures here, but don't close them Bibles, because I'm going to be coming back into these scriptures tonight. Amen. Hosea chapter 1, verse 2, reads like this: the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, the children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Verse 2 of chapter 2. For the sake of time, I'm going to be just skipping through here. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness and set her like a dry land and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms, for their mother hath played the harlot.
She hath conceived them and done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, and my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Go with me to verse 10, if you will. This is God responding. This is God's response to the choice that Gomer had made. God simply says this in verse 10, And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. I will also overlook to see her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees. Wherefore she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. She forgot me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there. This was an awful story, kind of pretty much in your ears that I read tonight, a sad story. But right here in verse 14 and 15 is what, you can be seated if you'd like to, I'm going to draw my message from tonight. He said, therefore I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. Verse 15 says this, and I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. The valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. God said, I'm going to give her a door in the valley of Achor. And that's what I want to preach tonight, just a little. While I was reading this a while back, the Lord spoke this into my heart. I want to preach tonight on the door in the valley of Achor. Aren't you glad that there's a way of escape when we feel like we've gone as far as we can go? Aren't you glad to know that there's great grace in this dispensation of grace? Amen. Amen. I'm glad to know that God has a door that's still swung wide open tonight. Amen. I know that door is fixing to be closed, but I declare unto you tonight, the door of the ark of God's safety is still swung wide open tonight. Amen. And I'm glad for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And if you will, I want to go back and I'm gonna glean from a couple of verses here and tonight, and I hope I'm not too lengthy here tonight. I'm normally not that long of a preacher, not too long-winded, amen, but I've kind of jumped on a man-size text here tonight, and I'm going to try for the sake of time to not take too much time, amen, if you will, praise the Lord. But here tonight is a story. Now, I know in this story here that a lot of people think that this story here in the book of Hosea is simply one that is allegorically speaking or figuratively speaking. I know that this story here tonight is symbolic. It relates. It's a typological story, if you will, in comparison God with Hosea. And it also compares Gomer to the nation of Israel. because God was simply showing through this marriage here how that He married a nation called Israel and a people of Hebrews, and how that they had went a-whoring after this world, and they had broken the heart of God, and they had committed spiritual adultery. And God was painting the picture here, but no matter how much symbolism there is between Hosea and Gomer and God and Israel, it does not take away the fact that there was a prophet named Hosea, and he had a wife that was named Gomer. Amen? This story really took place. Amen? The Bible even declares the three children that they had. I know there's a lot of people that has a lot of arguments over this story. I didn't come here to fuss and fight tonight. All I can tell you is from my studying, I believe, I know God spoke and said, go get a wife of the whoredoms, and also said children from whoredoms. They had not even had those children yet. I am persuaded that there was a woman by the name of Gomer that Hosea married, and somewhere along the course of life, I don't know what it was that turned her. I don't know if it was simply the providential hand of God. I don't know what circumstances took place. But I can tell you this, there is a woman who turned one day, and she walked away from everything that she had. She walked away from everything that was godly and upright. She walked away from her husband. She walked away from her children that needed her the most, and she walked away from everything that seemed to be good and wholesome. And I'm telling you right now, it has happened like the true proverb. There are many that have known this way of truth, like 2 Peter 2 and 20, but they have walked away. They've returned as the dog to the vomit, and as the sow to the wallowing in the mire. But God, help us to realize that you don't have to walk away from God, that the same grace of God that pulled us up out of the ghetto of sin and the mire of iniquity is able to keep us in this ungodly and sin-filled world. Amen? Praise God. I know you can backslide, but there ain't no sense in it. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here is the story. Don't know if it was neglect. We don't know what it was, if it was the illusion of marriage. We don't know really what it was. Maybe it was the burden of being a preacher's wife. I mean, Hosea was one that was crying out against sin. Maybe it was all of the comments that were made and all of the accusations. I'm not sure what it was. But all the awful tragedy and the truth of this story is she did turn. And I'd like to look here at a couple of pointers here tonight. I want you to focus with me in chapter 2 and verse 2, if you will. I just want to kind of hone in here on a couple of things that we should beware of. Notice here, it says, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight. I don't know, that kind of stood out to me when I read that. You know, a lot of times we've heard the thing, the saying, if you will, that the eye is the gateway to the mind and to the heart. The eye is something that we need to be very particular of. Amen. I notice here the prophet said that she ought to put away her whoredoms out of her sight. There's a danger in looking at sin. There's a danger in our eyes falling upon the things that they shouldn't fall upon. I know that we live in a sin-cursed world. I know that there's sin abounding on every hand. We live in a godless generation. We live in a godless society. But we better be careful, little eye, what you see. Because the devil is a master artist. He has a beautiful pen in his hand. He paints a beautiful picture. There's some people says it don't matter. It's all right to look, but you might want to tell that to Lot. When Lot began to look at the well-watered plains in that Jordan Valley towards Sodom, he began to set his eyes on the beauty and on the enhancement there, and to his detriment of part of his family members. And Lot almost lost his own soul. He lost his wife. It's a dangerous thing to look. I think about David, that mighty king and that prophet, as he walked out on the balcony of his house, and there before his eyes fell upon that beautiful Bathsheba. Oh, David might have thought, what would one look hurt? But the next thing you know is he's killed Uriah. Oh, God, help us to realize that sin can enter through these eyes, through the lights of the heart. And God, help us that we would guard our eyes to the things that we see. Amen. I believe it was David that said, I've set no evil thing before mine eyes. God help us that we'd overcome this world and the temptations and the lust and the pleasure thereof. It's a dangerous thing to see. Just a lot like Eve there in the garden. The Bible said she looked at that fruit and saw that it was good. Oh, would to God that Eve had started running when she seen that fruit. But no doubt that apple was glistening. No doubt that thing was polished and shining. I call it an apple. It was the fruit, whatever the fruit was. But you hear me, that thing got a hold to her eye. And it has happened in our young generation, and not even our young, but our old also. But you see the billboards. Riding down the interstates, going to revival. God help us at the allurement, the enticement to our young people. There is a big, mighty, rusty, or nice-looking cowboy, if you will, sitting on the back of a horse there on a big billboard. Got that cowboy hat on. A handsome young man. And he's got that cigarette in his mouth. And it looks so enticing. Them young men look at that dude and say, man, if I was putting them things in there, I could be big and macho and tough too. But what the devil don't want to show you, he don't want to show you that handsome cowboy 30 years down the road with the wrinkles of time, laying in a hospital under an oxygen tent with his lungs blackened and him dying. He don't want to show you that picture, but that's the end run to sin. Hallelujah. Show you that beautiful blonde with the Budweiser. But I'll show you the broken homes. Little girls crying, where's mom? And mom out at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning in the bar rooms, busted homes, busted lives, little children suffering. I'm telling you, this world here is being marred. This world here is being ramshacked by sin. God help us to realize sin is not our friend. It is our enemy. And it's time to destroy as many as it can. Praise God. Amen. She looked at this world and the things that it had to offer. Notice in verse 5 here, verse 5 says, and their mother hath played the harlot, she that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers. That look turned into lust or a desire. It began with that look, but after that she gazed upon it long enough, after that she looked at it, whatever it might have been, after a while that lust or that look turned into lust and the desire, and she began to pursue after the evil that Satan had brought to her mind. See an awful situation here. That desire begins to drive her. Just like Eve. You think about Eve when she pulled that fruit off of the tree. She was holding that thing. I don't believe she just grabbed it. She was holding that thing, looking at it in her hand. She didn't realize how poisonous that beautiful fruit was. She didn't really understand what she was doing till one day probably Adam came back with Abel in his arms dead. And then she really began to realize the power of the sin. When God said, if you eat of this fruit of the tree of good and evil of life, He said, you will die. But she don't realize it right now. Neither does Gomer realize it. She gazes out through the windows of that house and she says, man, it's not worth it being the preacher's wife. It's just not worth it. I can't take the pressures. But you hear me? You better take the pressures. We've got to overcome. We can't fail in this good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Had a friend of mine tell me on the job. He said, preacher, he said, I know I need to live right. I know I need to do right. He said, but man, he said, it just cost me too much. There's so much I got to give up. He said, look at what all the things. He said, I enjoy living. I enjoy the pleasures of life. I said, you're right. I said, the Bible even declares that there's pleasure in sin for a season. But all seasons come to an end. As sure as you see those trees bare today and no leaves on there, there'll be a springtime that'll come if God left and time tarries and the seasons will change. And sure as the seasons change, so does the penalty of sin come home. Amen? And I told that young boy that day, I said, yeah, there's some things you're going to have to give up, young man. It will cost you something. I told him, I said, but if you don't give up this world and you don't give your heart to Jesus, I said, it'll cost you a lot more. It'll cost you a lot more if you don't surrender your life to Christ. Oh, yeah. There are some burdens to bear. There's a cross that we got to take up and carry. But we can trade that cross in for a crown one day. Glory to God. It's going to pay to be godly and holy after a while. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. That lust turns into the desire. Satan begins to spin that web around Gomer. You know, kind of like I was thinking today as I was studying this. You know, a lot of people think they can take sin by the tail, so to speak. I mean, they can take the bottle and it won't grab them. And they can play and toy with sin just a little while and then turn it loose. Kind of like my sister, man, when we were growing up, I was a mischievous young little boy. I had me a little dirt bike that I drove around, and my sister, she had a bicycle, and I was riding that dirt bike through the yard one day, and we lived on kind of on a country road, I was riding that dirt bike. She said, I want you to pull me on this bicycle. I want to see how fast this bicycle will go here. And I said, well, let me get this thing going down the highway. And then you just pedal up beside me. I got that little dirt bike in a low gear, and she pedaled up there beside me. And my sister reached out to grab my hand. And instead of her grabbing my hand, I grabbed hers. Instead of her getting a hold of me, I got a hold to her. And I had her where I wanted her then. We was already moving, man. I gunned that cycle, man. I sped up. She was hollering, slow down, turn me loose. Turn me loose, slow this thing down, man. I was gassing her. Last time I seen her, when I turned her loose, man, that bicycle was all over the highway, man. She was trying to stay out the ditches, but that's the way the devil is. This world thinks they're cunning enough. Our young folks think they can get a hold of Satan and play with him a while. Uh-uh, honey. He'll get a hold to you, and when he gets his claws locked in you, there's only one way, there's only one antidote, there's only one cure, and that's the blood of Jesus. But he breaks every fetter, and he can overcome Satan. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Notice here the insanity of sin. She leaves all. Children that need her, a husband that loves her, she goes after this world. A lot of times we look at families, we look at even loved ones in our family. We say, how in the world can they do that? How in the world can they do that to those kids? It's the insanity of sin. It's been well said that sin will take you further than you ever anticipated on going, keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. Cost you more than you ever anticipated on paying. Amen. That's so true. So true. Young man right there at the house, man, he got tied up on drugs. I mean, young, energetic teenager. I mean, he thought, man, I mean, every time you get around him, man, he was vibrant, he was bright-eyed, had a lot going for him, got hung on drugs. After them drugs got a hold to him, wrote his mama a long letter, pulled his pickup truck round to the back of the house while his mom and dad was going to work. Run a hose from exhaust pipe into his window, duct taped that window up. When they came home, he was laying in the bed dead with that long letter to his mom. I tell you, man, sin's not playing. Sin is for real. And Gomer is going to find this out here. Gomer is going to find out the power of sin. Notice here, that decision that she made, she looked and that look turned into lust. Or desire, and that desire turned into a decision. She made that decision to walk away from everything that loved her and needed her. She made that decision. And that decision or that choice, it became a chain. That choice that she made, it became a chain. Someone told me one time, said the chains of sin are too light to be felt until they're too heavy to be broken. They don't really see it coming, the power of sin here. I mean, there is pleasure in sin for a season. But like I said, that season is going to come to an end. God, help us to realize the power of sin. Oh, God, I know I got a good friend. I don't know, maybe y'all might know him, Rob Roy. They're missionaries out to Sierra Leone, Africa there, and they stayed there for a long tenure, did a good work there. And I was talking with Rob one day, and Rob said, right in the little village that we lived there in Sierra Leone, he said there was a family that we knew and said they had in that house. Said they had one of them boa constrictor snakes, one of them big old monster snakes. And said they kept that thing in a cage. They said, man, he had never heard a flea. I mean, you know, we raised this thing here from just a little old tiny snake. And he said one day that man and woman was outside working in the yard and they had a young infant baby that was in that house that they had left sleeping in the cradle. And they said when they came in that house, they don't know how it happened, but that big boa constrictor had got out of that cage and had went to that crib and swallowed that little infant baby. By the time they got the baby out, it was already dead. But I tell you, man, if you don't believe Satan's playing for keeps, if you don't believe sin is playing for keeps, man, you go to the prison house. I mean, you just go down to the psychiatric ward. Man, he's laying them to waste. But I tell you, there is a power that's greater. Greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Witness to a boy in prison one day. He told me, he said, preacher, he said, I got so hung up on methamphetamine. I don't know if you know what that is. It's working its way this way from the West Coast. Methamphetamine, some bad stuff. But he pulled a picture out of his wallet, showed me. His little baby girl was 9 months old. He said, preacher, he said, I got so strung out on drugs. He said, I don't know what happened to me. He said, my wife had gone and left me to care for the baby. And he said, I got so spaced out on that stuff. He said, all I know is when I came to myself, he said, that little 9-month-old baby of mine was floating in the bathtub. He said, preacher, I guess I drowned her. I don't know. But he was standing there, his hands shaking, showing me that picture, tears running down his face. I'm telling you right now, man, Satan takes no prisoners. He don't care if it's infants. He don't care who you are. All he wants to do is spin the web of sin around you. All he wants to do is get his claws in you. God, help us to realize the power and the evil of sin. Glory to God. Here. There's a woman that is now going into the valley of Achor. She's going down, down, down. She's now realizing she couldn't play and toy with sin. She's now realizing her great mistake. She's now realizing that the decision that she made was a bad decision. But you know what? There's a lot of people that realize they're messed up and they just don't know how to get help. There's a lot of people that's way down on the bottom and they really don't know how to get help. I want you to look with me, if you will. Notice here in verse 14, God says, and I mean God sees her wickedness all the way through verse 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. God is angry and He's expressing His anger to her. And He says, therefore, behold, I will allure her. In verse 14, and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her there. I mean, God's up to something right here. When I read this, a few months ago, man, I'm telling you, that thing got a hold to me, man. I started going in and doing a little study on the Valley of Achor. How many of you remember when Joshua and the Israelites compassed the city of Jericho, and there was a man by the name of Achan that went in and took some Babylonian garments. He took some golden wedges. He carried them things out against the direct command of God. Hid them things beneath his tent. But he didn't realize that God's eye was ever upon him. And oh, when that sin was revealed, they carried Achan and his family and all that he had, his horses, his camels, everything that belonged to him out of the camp. And they carried him down into the valley of Achor, and there they stoned Achan and his entire family and everything that he had. And from that moment on, the valley of Achor was known as a valley of hopeless hopelessness. It was known as the valley of death. It was known as a place of no return. And this woman, Gomer, has gone into this valley blinded by sin. Contaminated by iniquity. And she's there seemingly at death's door with no way out but God. He says, I'm going to do a new thing. Hallelujah. I'm not going to kill her in that valley, but I'm going to take that valley and I'm going to make it a door, and I'm going to swing that door wide open and let her come out alive. Thank God that God opened the door in my acorn one day. Hallelujah. Praise God. The place that God ought to kill her. The place that she should have died. God said, I'm going to do something new. Glory to God. Instead of death, I'm going to make it a door. Hallelujah to God. Instead of killing her, I'm going to bring her out. I ain't just going to bring her out, but I'm going to bring her out with a song. I'm going to give her a song as she marches out of that valley. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Notice in verse 14, he said, I will allure her. I've got a plan here. I'm going to allure her, and I'm going to bring her into the wilderness. I want to get her to a place where nobody else can talk to her. I want to get her a place where she's alone. And when I get her flat of her back, when I get her down on the bottom of the pot, I'm going to have her at a place I can talk with her. When I get her to that place, when I get her there alone, notice here in verse 14, he said, therefore, or verse 15, he said, I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there. She's in the valley, but I'm going to swing a door wide open in that valley. I'm going to cut an exit sign on. I'm going to give her an off-ramp off of the highway to hell. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to crank up the lighthouse. She's out on the stormy sea, but I'm going to give her a hope. I'm going to give her a ray of light here. Oh, yeah, praise God. He said this, I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she's going to sing there. The enemy's got her bound. She's chained. She's bound behind enemy lines. But I'm going to loose the chains. I'm going to break the fetters. I'm going to let her march right out of the enemy's camp with a song on her lip. Hey, that's the grace of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Maybe I ain't supposed to feel this good on the first night. I don't know. Praise God. Man, I'm glad God swung the door open in my valley. My back pinned to the wall. All I was hopeless. All I was waiting on that last heartbeat. And I was whiskey bent, sin bent, hell bound, God. Oh, but he came knocking on my door. He swung a door wide open. He told me, I don't have to die. You can go free. Hallelujah. I came out of that valley. I came off of the altar with a song. And my sins washed away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, Jen, I want you to come to the piano. I'm getting ready to close. Glory to God. But how is God going to do this? I want you to look with me in chapter 3 and verse 1. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, talking about Hosea, go yet love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. No doubt when God told... Play real soft, Jen. I got a few more minutes here. No doubt when God told Hosea, I want you to go buy your wife back. I want you to go purchase her back. No doubt Hosea said, God, please no. I'll go to Nineveh. I'll climb a tree. I'll do whatever. Just don't make me do that, God. Just when the wounds had seemingly scabbed over and was starting to heal, just when it seemed like that the nights had gotten bearable, where those little girls didn't come crying, "Daddy, when's Mama coming home?" Just when it seemed like his heart had finally stopped bleeding, and he had got over that awful tragedy in his life, God said, "Go buy her back." It's not recorded here in the Scripture, but I don't know. This is just kind of my commentary. I'd almost like to think that Hosea no doubt responded, "How, God? How? How?" And we see here penned, "According to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel." Hosea, I know that love is not within you because you've been so hurt. But I want you to do it according to the love that I have. I know what you're feeling, Hosea. And I want you to get a hold to some of the love that I have. And then you'll be able to go back and buy her back. I seen Brother Coates just a week ago, a minister friend of ours down, he pastors in the town of Myrtle Beach, Conway, right at Myrtle Beach. His daughter was about my age. His girls came home from school one day, and the oldest girl stepped off the school bus and was making it toward the house, and his younger girl was a little bit farther behind. There was a young teenage boy, about 18 years old, that had been chasing a fire truck and was running at a high rate of speed. She stepped out from behind that bus. He picked her up with that sports car, carried her about 300 yards, then standing on the front steps looking, carried her down the highway to her grave. Brother Coates said he couldn't preach anymore. He'd get on the altar to pray. He couldn't pray. Couldn't sleep at night. He said in the courtroom there, months went by, and he was filled with so much anger. He said all he could think about is why that young boy take the life of my daughter over something so frivolous. Is trying to get to a brush fire. But he said he knelt down under a heavy burden and said, God spoke to him and said, "Brother Coates, go to the prison where that boy's at." He said, "I want you to go talk with him." Brother Coates said he wrestled with it for a while and said finally he gave in to God. He got permission, went to the prison, met with the guard, had it scheduled to meet with the boy, and he said he was walking back into the inner part of that prison. And he said he looked at that young man that had took the life of his precious daughter. He said he just felt hot flashes. He felt anger, just a rush of emotion. Said his mind was just bouncing off the wall of his skull, if you will. Not knowing what to say, what to do, God didn't know. But he said while he was walking toward that boy, he said he never experienced anything. He said something started at the top of his head, and it was just like a bucket of water. He said it just run all. He said he felt it just moving across his body. And see, he said his mentality changed. His thoughts changed. And he said when he reached the murderer that took the life of his daughter, he said he reached out with his arms, wrapped his arms around that young boy and began to weep and cry and said, "I forgive you, and God loves you, and God wants to forgive you." That's what Hosea experienced. When we say, I could never forgive them, I could never love them, you need to tap into God's love, and yes, you will. It doesn't matter what they've done. It don't matter how. I'm telling you, Gomer had ripped Hosea's heart out. But God said, "Hosea, if you'll get a hold of my love, you can love her again." Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Verse 2. "So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver." Man, I tell you, that's some of the sweetest words I read in God's Word. "So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver." Many commentators believe this was in the little city of Judah there. I see a little short prophet. I see a little ruddy man walking through the crowd. They tell me that Jose Argoma was up on the auction blocks as they auctioned them off like slaves back then. I see a woman that sins carried her to the end. She stands before this crowd being auctioned off like an animal, bound by chains, probably poorly clothed, if any. Standing there as the crowd gazes on. The crowd probably remembers Gomer, and they probably standing there pointing fingers saying, ah, she's getting what she deserves. But what they don't realize is there's a little prophet. He's pushing his way through the crowd. He's got 15 pieces of silver in his pocket. He's got a bag of barley across his shoulder, and he's got a heart that's beating with the love of God. Hey! It might be those that are saying, Hosea's going to say, I told you so. But he's not going to say, I told you so. He's going to bar back because God has sent him on a divine mission. Who will give me one piece of silver? Somebody raises a hand. Gomer, Hosea says, I'll give you two. Somebody else said, I'll give you three. He said, that isn't the way it happened. Well, I read that he bought her for 15 pieces, not one. I believe somebody else wanted Gomer. Somebody else wants your child. Somebody else wants that grandchild. Somebody else is willing to pay a premium price for that wife or husband. But I'm telling you right now, heaven's already paid a premium price. Glory to God. Hallelujah to God. Who'll give me four? Who'll give me five? Oh, when the devil had planned on plowing her, when the devil had finished planning on finishing her off and running her in the ground, Hosea had different plans. He wanted to reinstate her, bring her back to those children. He wanted her to be his wife. Hallelujah. Whoever it was bidding against Hosea probably said, I'll give you 14. Hosea said, I'll give you 15. 15. And he said, that's too much for the price, too great of a price. Hosea said, I'll give you 15 pieces, an omer and a half of barley. Sold to the little preacher man with a heart full of love. Praise God. I don't know, maybe the first thing Hosea told them was, and they said, all right, she's yours. Hosea probably said, take the chains off of her, because she's not a slave anymore. Loose her and let her go. She belongs to me now. Glory to God. Don't you remember when God loosed the chains that was on you? I mean, the devil was going to kill you, about like Spurgeon when he said he's on the way to that tabernacle there, and he said a little boy with a bird cage and had that little bird, and Spurgeon said, what are you going to do with that little sparrow? And he said, I'm going to play with him for a while and then I'm going to kill him. Said Spurgeon reached in his pocket and got a large sum of money, several pounds, and he said, I'll buy that bird and that cage from you. The little boy said, you sure? He said, yes, sir. The little boy said, all right. Said Spurgeon, got that cage. So that little bird was in there. That little boy said, I'm going to play with him for a while and kill him. When Spurgeon reached and got that bird cage, said he opened that cage and said, shoo. Said that little sparrow come out of that cage. Fly. He'd been sentenced to die by that little boy, but Spurgeon paid a heavy price for him, and now that bird's free. It said Spurgeon set that bird cage, that rusty bird cage, on the communion table that morning and preached how that we were bound in the prison house of sin, and the devil was going to play with us and then kill us. But Christ paid an ultimate price on Calvary and said, you can go free. That's what Hosea did to Gomer there. When she didn't deserve it, he paid a premium price. He's walking back through that crowd. I believe he takes his arm and puts her out. I don't know. Walking through that crowd. people shaking their heads. Man, I can't believe this. You know what? Brother Prescott, they couldn't believe when I got saved either. They said it won't last no time, but I tell you, man, they don't know what kind of burden I was under. They don't know what kind of condemnation I was under. And when I got out from under sin, when I got out of the prison camp of sin, I hadn't ever wanted to go back. Hallelujah. I'm planning on making it all the way. I see some little girls peeping out the window. Is that Mama? Daddy's got somebody with him. Is that Mama coming home? I'm preaching to you tonight about a door in Acor. You in the valley of sin and you're bound tonight, you don't have to stay there. It don't matter how deep you've gone in trespasses and sin. It don't matter how great your iniquity is. There is a power. There's a blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins that breaks every chain and every fetter. Oh, He stands to forgive you tonight if you'll but be willing to come and walk out of that valley of Achor. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said God's got a door swung open tonight. You don't have to die there. But there is hope. You just got to get up. Say, I'm coming out the valley. I'm coming through God's open door tonight. Amen. Let's stand tonight in this place. Glory to God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Sinner friend, you might be lost in this place tonight. But you don't have to stay lost. You might be bound in the prison house of sin, but you don't have to stay there. God's trying to open that door. Lama Mashandaya. I believe God is trying to woo you tonight to an altar of repentance. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to die there. There's hope. There's life. There's liberty tonight if you'll run to Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, and God, church, let's worship Him right now. I believe God's calling right now. I believe the spirit of conviction is in this place right now. God, work. Sinner friend, why don't you step out from where you're at? Why don't you walk the aisle tonight and let God save you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right, young man, come on. Glory to God. That's right. There might be another in this place tonight. Hallelujah to God. There might be another in this place tonight. Somebody come and pray with this young man. There might be another. God swinging a door open in your acorn tonight. God swinging a door open in your valley tonight. You don't have to stay there. Amen. I want us to make our way this far. Church, let's make our way into this altar. Sinner friend, why don't you just slip out from where you're at? All those that would, let's come to these altars tonight. Sinners and saints, let's seek the Lord tonight. Let's pray. Come right on, sinner. Come right on, sinner. God's swinging a door open. I mean, God's got your name tonight. Why don't you yield into